Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, O sing, of my Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. Reading from Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 11. These are Paul's words to the church there at Rome, but they're also God's word to them and to us. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be made known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, unto birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So far we read God's holy word. Let's give thanks for it and pray also that the Holy Spirit will lead us into the truth of it and lead all of the church into all of the truth together, that even in our generation, the church might be made one. As Christ prayed for that, four times he prayed, and twice he said why? That the world will know that the Father has sent Christ. Also that we'll know, and the world will know, that Christ is the Son of God, one with the Father. Let's pray to him. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ, he who is on thy right hand, he to whom all power has been given in heaven and on earth. We give thanks, Father, for who he is. We give thanks particularly for what he did. In thinking it was not robbery to be equal with thee, yet humbled himself and took on him the form of a man and went to the death of the cross. We give thanks also that because of that, thou dost highly exalt him and given him a name which is above every name, that at his name every knee shall bow. We pray that we might be in that number that will bow now, and that we will then have mercy and grace and forgiveness and all of thy blessings. We pray that none of us may be left to be made to bow on the day of judgment, when all the rest of the world will bow that has not bowed before. We pray, Father, that we might do so more and more in our nation and other nations also, and especially our nation and other nations that have had thy word in past generations, much more than we do now, reverencing it, attending the hearing of it, and believing and practicing it. We are doing so less and less. And making laws, Father, we confess in our nation that are contrary to thy holy laws. And we pray that thou would open our eyes, open our hearts to receive thy word, that Thou wilt call more to preach that word in our nation and throughout the world, that many laborers might be called to go into all the fields which are still white under the harvest and where the laborers are few. We pray again for Thy Spirit to accompany that in a mighty way, opening hearts to receive that word, convicting of sin, of righteousness, and judgment, especially of the sin. Lord Jesus, that Thou hast said it, of not believing on Thee. Though we may believe about Thee, many do not believe on Thee and trust in Thee for all that we need, salvation and all other things as well. And we pray that we might have that, for Thou hast said, Lord Jesus, without me you can do nothing. We agree with Thee. We know by sad experience what we are left to do ourselves does not get done or done in the wrong way. We pray for forgiveness. We pray it, Father, for all of the world, that it might soon know Thee, Father, the only true God, and Christ whom Thou hast sent. We pray for these things first. We also pray for the temporal needs of those that are suffering in many different ways, the homeless, the hungry, the persecuted, the broken homes, all these different calamities. We pray, Father, for many that are suffering terribly. And we pray, Father, that in the midst of judgments, Thou wilt remember mercy, and also that Thou wilt use these calamities as chastenings that will bring forth the peaceable fruits of righteousness that might cause people to come back to Thee in repentance and in faith, and then in obedience, all in Thy name. Amen. As we look at this once more, we have looked at some of the verses that we read now last week. Paul's coming to them, why he came in a different way than he probably had planned, when he said, "For I long to see you, that I may impart some spiritual gift." Verse 13, "Now I would not have you ignorant, that oft times our purpose to come to you." We mentioned last week how the Jews tried to kill him, and he appealed to Caesar, and was taken to Rome, and that all happened later. But here he still wants to go in his own time, his own way, for these purposes given here, that he might have some spiritual gift, to the end they might be established. He wants them to grow in the fruits of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, that will establish a church in the right way. And then the reason he gives in the next verse, verse 12, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Mutual faith. One in the faith, not only both having faith in God, Paul in the church there at Rome, but a faith which was alike, mutually alike. And how we need that today. How we need faith in God's word, faith in doctrine, faith in His teaching, and then practice together. The church is so sadly divided. Even as some time ago, one church voted for how to deal with the homosexuals, and part of the church rebelled at it. What the other part voted in the majority, the rest wouldn't acknowledge or submit to. Not a mutual faith in what's right according to God's word. And that is that way in many, many areas. In salvation itself, we have the difference between works and grace. As Paul said later in this letter, if it is works, it is no more grace, and if it is grace, it is no more works. Otherwise, work is no more work, and grace is no more grace. Those things cannot be mixed, and yet they often are. And part of the church puts more emphasis on works than on grace or salvation by faith alone, not of works, lest any man should boast. Here, Paul said that he could have mutual faith, both you and me. And how we need to say that to each other. When Paul wrote to the church of the Hebrews, which is given later in the Bible, he said that we have to exhort one another. And we should. We should try to meet on the truth of God's word, not persuade necessarily someone to our view, which might be right, might be wrong, might be partly tradition, partly the truth of God's Word. And we should examine that together and exhort one another, search it out together. And there is one Bible, one Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. That must be the source of what we believe. Yes, we can believe certain things from creation and nature, as we read further here, verse 19, because that which made known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things from him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Sadly there, we don't have a mutual faith. The church doesn't believe together that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The church doesn't believe together that in 6 days God created the heaven and earth. There's much division, much denial, much of the church that only believes a theory without any fact. It would no longer be a theory if it's a fact. We have the theory of evolution. And in that theory, they have different ways in which they think it came about, this way, that way, the Big Bang, over a period of years, millions of years, billions of years. My oldest grandchildren went to school. The book they had said that the world was 16 million years old. Along with it, they stated in the same chapter that some people said it was 32 million, and others said it was 8 million. And later, with the younger children, the textbook stated that the world was 5.4 billion years old. I've repeated these things before, but they are lies. And if you believe them, you better repent. Because God tells us plainly in His Word what happens to all liars. And if we believe the lie, we'll be damned. If we teach the lie, it's even worse. And it's sadly taught in schools that are called Christian. I don't call them Christian schools. I just say schools that are called Christian. They're not teaching that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and there was nothing made that was made without Him. Nothing made that was made without Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was He with the Father that said, let us make man. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. Yes, we were born from our mothers and fathers. But because God created male and female, yes, that too, male and female, one or the other. And the way you are born is what you should recognize and submit to and continue in. We have all these different ways. I just received a magazine last week, says The War Against Men. That's one of the things that's taking place, along with many other ways of war and contradictions. Another magazine has on the front page, The Twilight of Freedom in the West. Things are changing, not for the better, but for the worse. That all comes under what God inspired Paul to write those 1900 years ago, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Thinking about all these things, I should join with Paul when he said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. There's some of you listening now that may not listen to the whole program. Some of you listening now that may not be alive very long. And I can give you, along with the bad news of all those things that are taking place, sadly, terribly, wrongly, denial of the truth. But there can be repentance of that denial. And there can be, as the Lord Jesus said to some, who began to believe the gospel when they heard it from His lips, described in John chapter 8. He said, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples, learners, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. if you know that you are in the bondage of theories and the bondage of false ways of faith and false doctrine, there is a place for repentance, a place for change. I had to change much in my lifetime, going to church all my life, but not believing the Word of God all my life. A period when I believed this that was not true. Then there was a period that I believed something else that was not true. Till many years later, God finally brought me to the truth. And I remember saying to somebody I was studying with, if that God, the God of truth, also could be described as the God of election, doesn't save me, I will go to hell. That had to be believed and submitted to. And then, as a little child, asking God for pardon because of Christ. Asking God for faith to know that Christ died for my sin. As I mentioned last week, that assurance, that forgiveness, that joy, that peace, as Paul describes it further in this letter, going to the 5th chapter. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All those that had that could be included in what Paul is saying in the last part of this 12th verse. By the mutual faith, both of you and me. Though it might be slightly different in the way that we received it, the time element, some seek long, some seek shorter time, some have much stress and trouble in finding the ways of the Lord. But as one man said, though they may be all somewhat different, they all in the main are alike. The mutual faith of both you and me. Paul was thinking evidently of the people at Rome when he wrote that, and of himself. But remember, this is God's word. This is the Holy Scripture. When Paul is writing it, he is saying to you and me as well, both of you and me, of you who can read or hear this word from Paul's pen and from himself. And certainly he was a wonderful example of God's grace and a wonderful example of working out his salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that God had worked it in him both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's included in a mutual faith. There are so many things included in that faith. Faith is believing. Faith is trusting. And we might also say, faith is knowing. Knowing it to be true. If it is a saving faith, knowing it is true for myself, a sinner. Saved because of Christ. Saved as we sang. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. Wonderful. It's worth singing about, and it should be sung to the praise of God. Should be sung so we can sing it together, one with another, and sing it to each other. Having that mutual faith. Then Paul states in verse 13, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purpose to come to you. We dealt with that last week. And the last part of that 13th verse states, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Paul recognized that there were always some in the church that did not have saving faith. There's always some children growing up, coming to years of understanding. That may not have been there at the beginning of the church. They may have been babies, young children, too young to know and understand the Word of God, their sin, salvation, even though some learn it very, very young. As in the Great Awakening with Jonathan Edwards, there was a little girl named Phoebe Bartlett, 4 years old, who learned of her sin, who was troubled by her sin, went into the closet. In her house, her mother would hear her talk, pray to God, cry out, wanting to be saved, would come out of the closet, not having received that joy and that blessing, saying she was fearful, she was going to hell, learning she deserved it as a sinner. And then one day, again going into the closet, coming out and saying to her mother, "The kingdom of God is come to me." The kingdom of God, which Paul here speaks of, which Christ spoke of when he began his ministry and said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand," as Matthew describes his preaching. Mark also describes it, stating, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye therefore, and believe the gospel." Matthew only mentions repentance, and I think it can safely be said, if a person truly repents, truly submits to God's word, truly is changed from false doctrine to true, he won't stop with just repentance. He'll have like Cornelius had when Peter went to him, described in Acts chapter 10. And in Acts chapter 11, we read the summary of it. "Then hath God granted unto the Gentiles repentance unto life." If there's true repentance, there will be life in Christ. A repentant sinner can't be satisfied until he has Christ. He can't be satisfied until he knows Christ died for his sin. He's going to hell. He deserves it. And Christ is the answer. And I'm afraid there are many that have nothing more than historic faith, that have not repented, have not submitted to the sinnership that God describes us in. "There is none that doeth good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Some even raise the question and the claim, can I be like Cornelius, who was described as his prayers were heard, he gave much alms. In the beginning of that Acts chapter 10, you think, well, Cornelius was a good man, and he was. But he was told by an angel to send Peter, who would tell him words by which he would be saved. Cornelius had to be saved. And when he was saved, when the Jews didn't like it that Peter went there to the Gentiles, the conclusion was, as I mentioned a moment ago and I repeated, "Then hath God to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." Read it, believe it, rejoice in it, know you need it, like Cornelius did, and I did, and everyone does. Everyone needs to sing of our Redeemer. He had to shed his blood for me, and if he didn't shed his blood for you, your sins are not washed away. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remittance of sin. That we must have. That is part of the mutual faith that Paul said of you and me. And he brings that out further. If we go to the third chapter, we read of Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. Oh, do you believe it to the saving of your soul?
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.